evening.
Good evening. I wasn't sure you had started, so I didn't want to identify myself and disturb you any more than I had to.
But we will begin.
I'm going to mute.
Okay. We're beginning with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarisu ishkite dibhilu urchimu urchimu uthilu le'achta l'shem yudhe bavadhek v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael hine anachnu bayim l'kayem mitzvat sefirat ha'omer la'asot nachat ruach le'otrenu v'la'asot rotzon borenu v'ayhino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kununei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kununeihu. The next step is to read or scan the Psalms that we read before the blessing. Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Igmor Bayadi Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yo Aheda Wanu Heyo Azdecha Leolam Masayadika El Teref Ekra Elohim El Yom Lael Gomer Alai. We avor alai viarech mitvoseset Bedamayich vayomer lecha bedamayich haye. We amar la bedamayich haye. Barki nafshi et Adonai Yo he wahe adanu yo Yo ahe da wanu heyo Adonai yo he wahe adanu yo Yo ahe da wanu heyo Elohe gedalta meod hod Wechadar levashta O te or kishalma no te shemayim karia. Step three is the blessing. Baruch ata Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yo ahe da wanu heyo. Yud he wav he Eloheinu. Melech haolam. Asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav. Vetzivanu. Al sefirat ha'omer. Hayom shiloshim yom laomer sheheim arba'a shavuot u'shnei yamim. Today is the 30th day of the Omer, which is 4 weeks and 2 days. The Or Panimi, the inner light. Harachaman hu yachatzir avodat Beit HaMikdash Limkoma B'mheira B'yameinu. And we all say Amen. Psalm 67. Lam Natzeach B'mginot Mizmor Shir Elohim Yechanenu V'varkenu Ya'er pananu, panavitanu sela. Lada'at ba'aretz darkecha b'kol goyim yeshuatecha. Yoducha Amim Elohim, Yoducha Amim Kulam. Yismechu v'raneinu ki tishpot amim miyor ulumim ba'aretz tanhem sela. The 30th letter is the Yud of Ulumim. We know the Yud is an important letter. It's the first letter of Hashem's name. So we need to evaluate our own character traits vis-a-vis the letter Yud. What do we need to do with our character traits? What do we need to change so that the Yud is within us, that we can draw the letter Yud and connect to it and become closer to Hashem? The 30th word is the word Selah. Selah is a very interesting word because it has no translation. It has no true meaning. Selah tells us when we're reading a verse and the last word is Selah, it tells us pause and review what the energy of that verse is. What is it saying to us? We need to contemplate it, and we do that through the pause before we go on to the next verse. Yoducha Amim Elohim, Yoducha Amim Kulam. Eretz Natna Yivula Yivarkenu Elohim Eloheinu. Yivarkenu Elohim b'yiru oto kol ha'asei aretz. And now for the Anabekoa. Anabekoa gedulat shemincha tatir se. Aleph Bet Gimel Yutas Tavi Ahavatinam, unconditional love. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Tacharenu Nora Ufre Shayan Sintet Nun Arab Satam Kras Satam. Rearrange the letters, it's Sha'ar Katan, small gates, reminding us to guard our gates, our eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, as this is the entry points for the negative system. Na Gibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Gevavat Shamrem, Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin. Parnasa and sustenance. Barchem takarem rachame sitkacha tamid gamle betet resh tzaditav gimel. This sequence connects to the Sefirah of Netzach in its essence. of eternity, eternal victory. Asin kadosh ro tuvcha na el adatecha et kuf bet et nonayim. The letter Kuf of this verse is the 30th letter in the Anabakoa. The letter Kuf is both a word and a letter. As a letter, it is unique in that it has a leg that goes below the line. The Midrash teaches that the Kuf acts as a double agent. It passes its energy to the other side by feeding the entities below, and at the same time controls them through this limitation. As a word, it means monkey. In what ways do you lack control of your animal tendencies? What needs to change in order to have more control? Do you feed your animal tendencies or do you control them? Tet kuf bet tet nun ayin. This sequence connects to the Sefirah of Hod and its essence of appreciation, thankfulness, and gratitude. And we also understand that the energy of Hod represents the manifestation or the malchut on the level of spirituality without the physical limitations. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokrei kedushatecha. Yud gimel lamed pei zayin kuf. This sequence connects to the Sefirah of Yesod and its essence of creativity, creation, sexuality, and foundation. Shavatenu kabel Ushma triyakatenu yodeya ta'alumot shin kufwav zariyunta. This sequence connects to the Sefirah of Malchut and its essence of kingship, kingdom, and manifestation. And the eighth verse of the Anabakoa we say in a whisper. Stop in the of the 42 stops in the desert was we left Hor HaGilgad and camped in Yadvata. Yadvata means a good, calm place, a good, rich place, an area of flowing brooks. This refers to the deep calm that comes with wisdom.
Has joined.
The minds of elderly scholars become more settled with age. The adage that wisdom comes with age applies only when one has integrated the experiences of this lifetime with the Torah. Do you know someone who does this? Have you ever considered meeting someone who is like this? With age comes peace and serenity. If you choose, do you or will you choose peace and serenity? And that is a goal you wish to achieve in your age. Now for the actual counting of the Sefirah. Ribono shel olam, ata tzevitanu al yedei Moshe. Avdecha lispor sefirata omer, kede letacharenu miklipotenu umtumatenu, kimo shekatavta betorata uspartem lachem mimacharat hashabbat, miyom haviachem eto omer, at Shenefa Sheva Shabbatot Tami Motihiana Mimacharat HaShabbat Hashivi Tesifiru Hamishim Yom Kidesha Itaharu Nafshot Amcha Yisrael Mizo Hamatam Uvachain Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Eloheinu Elohe Avotenu Shebizchut Sefirata Omer Shesafarti Hayom Yetukan Ma Shebagamti Sefira Givura Shebechod Givura can has different meanings, some of which is power or judgment or strength. Hod, as we've mentioned a few times today, Hod has the energy of manifestation of malchut, of spiritual levels. But it also has the meaning of splendor, of a thankfulness, of appreciation. So what power is there in appreciation? What strength is there in Hod, in manifesting on the spiritual level? V'et Taher, V'et Kadesh, B'Kdusha, Shel Ma'ala, Amen, Selah. The Sadiqim who left this day, Rabbi Chaim Meir Yechiel Shapira of Mogilevitz. This is a Sadiq who was raised and taught by his maternal grandfather, who was the Kosnitzer Magid. He married the granddaughter of Rabbi Elimelech of Lizans, who was the third level, the third participant in the growth of the Hasidic movement after the Baal Shem Tov and the Magid de Mezrich. Then the third one was Rabbi Elimelech. He was also the disciple of the four leading figures of his generation, the Rebbes of Lublin, Pesicha, Apta, and Ruzin. And some say his Hilulah is the fifth of Iyar rather than the 15th. But the essence of this Tzaddik, he's very righteous. And when it says he was the leading figure in of his generation of the four Chabad Rebbe, not Chabad, but Hasidic Rebbes. These are very special people that are constantly quoted. This is the third level of the Hasidic movement. The prophet that is connected to the 30th day, the prophet that is connected to Givura of Hod, is Eliyahu Hanavi. We all know the name Eliyahu Hanavi, but do you know why he would be connected to Givura of Hod? When you think about it, you'll come to an understanding. The woman that is mentioned as Giborah of Hod is Sarah Imenu, because she received a call from Hashem to go forth into the new land. And she does go with her husband Avram to the land of Canaan. And she receives a new name representing the form of judgment and in her potential, as the energy of Hod represents that spiritual potential that will manifest into the physical world. But until it does, it's even at a higher level than when it does manifest in the physical. So I believe that our verse for the Deep Zohar today is verse 417 from the Sulam commentary from Parashat Vayera, section 29. And if anybody thinks it's a different verse, please let me know. So we will begin. Kayote bo amar Rabbi Yehuda, my dikti vayomer Hashem, la dag vekama tzadikim vechasidim mi Yisrael, shelo diber imahem hakudsha, v'richu v'lidaber im hadag davar she'eno makir v'yodea, ela amar Rabbi Yehuda k'wan she'alta tefilato shel Yona lifnei hakudsha b'richu Mimkom kedushato amar mishvil sheyakiyo hadag et yona el hayabasha lemad ladag kimo bishvil delomar vayomer hashem bishvil hadag Sheyakiyo et yona el hayabasha mimkom kedushato amar hakudsha b'richu yehemach
has joined.
Na'asa ma she'en sheliyah Yakola Asoto. The translation. Rabbi Yehuda continued by asking, why is it written, and Hashem spoke to the fish? How many righteous and pious men of Israel did the Holy One, blessed be He, never speak to, while he came to speak to the fish, who does not know or recognize him? Rabbi Yehuda continued, because Yonah's prayers reached to the Holy One, blessed be He, he spoke from the place of his holiness, so that the fish would vomit Yonah out and cast him ashore. So why did he speak to the fish? Hashem spoke to the fish, so that Yonah would be thrown back to the shore. So from the place of his holiness, the Holy One, blessed be He, said, let this happen. And immediately it was done, something that no messenger was able to do. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. It's essentially saying that Hashem didn't really speak to the fish in the way we speak. But he spoke to the fish, meaning he manifested the fish to probe Jonah out from the belly that he had eaten him, throw him onto the land. He didn't come down and talk to the fish like we would do. He just said, let the Jonah land on the land, and the fish manifested his desire. Not that Hashem ever has a desire. It's just a way to understand it. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, the thought that came to me before you gave your comment was Hashem will be merciful to whoever he wants to be merciful to. But then after you said he really didn't speak, I can see that as well. So he was really answering Jonah's prayer. Whether it's on the fish,
has joined.
The wind or a wave or something to cause the fish to actually spit out Jonah, whatever it took, it was enough.
Well, now you're even doing explaining a third level. A third way of understanding the verse, because you're saying that when Hashem said, in my terms, he's going to put the Jonah on the land, then he would do it in a natural
has
way,
joined.
Otherwise people would perceive it as supernatural or unnatural. And so that's all part of the different ways of understanding the same pasuk. The different ways of realizing what it means. So we've really revealed three different ways of understanding this particular pasuk from the Zohar. So we only have 67 more to go. Any other thoughts or comments?
Not really. I was kind of skimming it again. Makes you wonder why he didn't speak to some of the other holy people. Oh, I think that's the way they mentioned it. Let's see.
They did say that specifically, that there were many holy people he didn't speak to, so why did he speak to the fish? And the essence, the answer that I have heard from other people asking this question, sages or very people in tune with the Torah. The answer is, it isn't necessary for him to speak to all of the sages because they have certainty without having to hear his voice. So,
and they could
have he does speak to. Someone he does speak to is saying he needs that connection so that he has certainty, so that he has spiritual growth. Everybody is unique. Everybody is different. And so Hashem will speak only because it's necessary for that soul.
And to me, it could have been speaking in a different form. They could have gotten a vision. They could have gotten a dream. They could have heard someone say something and it spoke to them. And they take it as meaning it came from Hashem.
Absolutely true. But there's also the idea when we use the word speak in the Zohar, we may be saying that it's not speaking again. It's not like we speak to each other, but it's maybe the vision or the dream are included in the word speak. Verse 4:18. Tanya Mar Rabbi Shimon Pafteach Shel HaChaya V'yado Shel HaKudsha Baruch Hu Uhiyo Uvod Shehikiyo Yoshevet Al HaMashber HaKadosh Baruch Hu Me'ayen V'yoto HaVlad Or HaVulad Im Ra'u Uletzeat La'olam Botea Daltot Vitna V'yote Yue'im Lav So ger dalto teha ume tu shenehem I ake lo yetse rasha leolam ela hake taninan al shalosh averot nashim metot. We gomer, we amar, Rabbi Yitzhak, Lama Isha Pama Pelet, Beribita. Ela amar, Rabbi Yitzhak, Akadosh Baruch Hu, Roe Oto Ha'uva Bar She'eno, Ra'ulat Seit. La'olam umadim lahamito bimei moshen emar anfilim ayu baretz bayamim hahem hanfilim beketi below yud rishona Velama bishvil she'achare Kein ba'u b'nei ha'elohim El benot ha'adam Wayaldu lahem Biznut v'yirbu mamzerim ba'olam. The translation. We learned, as Rabbi Shimon said, the key of life is in the hands of the Holy One, blessed be He. So while the mother still lies in labor, the Holy One, blessed be He, examines the newborn. If he is worthy of emerging and coming into this world, then he opens the gates of her womb and he comes out. If not, then he shuts the gates and they both die. In this manner, an evil person will never come into the world. Rather, we have learned that women die because of three transgressions. Rabbi Yitzhak asked, why should any woman have a miscarriage and lose the fruit of her womb? Rabbi Yitzhak responds, the Holy One, blessed be He, examines the fetus that is not fit to come into the world and kills it while it is still in the womb of its mother, as it is written. There were giants, Nephilim, on the earth in those days. Nephilim is spelled without the first yud, meaning it's the same word as Nephilim, or miscarriages. And why? Because later the sons of Elohim came on to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them by prostitution. And so the number of bastards grew in the world. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. This pasuk hints that miscarriages did not happen to Nephilim or until after the flood. This is just my opinion. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Hearing the phrase the key of life, you know, Hashem having the key of life, I realized that we kind of missed that with the previous verse with Jonah. That he really didn't have to talk to the fish because he was holding the key of life for Jonah. But anyway, concerning this particular verse, I really don't have any comments.
Well, let me ask you or just suggest, because the key of life is very much part of this verse. Do we ever think that the key of life has to do with birth? We don't. I mean, I didn't. The key of life, we're talking about how long you live. But we don't think of it in terms of when do you start your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always been questionable, stillborn births, and well, right off, I guess I'm tired, I can't think of the procedure when the mother can't deliver vaginally, has to have the surgery.
Correct.
I've forgotten what it's called. I don't have the words right on the tip of my tongue.
Cesarean section.
Cesarean, yeah, cesarean birth.
And so the question is, should that mother have died? Because is man interfering in that process of birthing? Or is it saving a life and saving two lives?
I saw it as Hashem's mercy. No.
It is. It's clearly Hashem's mercy. Mm-hmm. He gives the doctor permission to heal. You know, 200 years ago, there was no such thing as cesarean section. So women died because of the problems in the birthing process.
Mm-hmm.
And when the woman died, usually the baby died. Was not always, but we can see the tikkunim involved.
And even, I think it's called utopic pregnancies, where the fertilization takes place in the fallopian tube. And so
right.
It's not even in the uterus, you know. So there's a lot of, you know, different instances having to do with birth.
Correct.
Which gives you more understanding of how judgment at that time in a period in a woman's life is there at the time of birth. I know I didn't know that when I had my children. I mean, it was always thought of, you know, as it was a blessing, and I had real easy deliveries, and so it never came to mind that it was a period of judgment because of the bleeding, you know. So we've learned a lot.
I agree. Should I go on to 419?
I think so.
Hey, Mahagiborim, Asher Meolam, Shein Gibor, Yifarit, Liarit, Kimo Hamam Zer. Anshe Hashem Shehakol Yakiru Likroto Hashem Hayadu Amam Zerke One Sheroim Maasav Shehu Parit Weyarit Ligo Gibor Hakol Yikrau Oto Shem Umadi Amar Rabbi Shimon Hakucha Barichu Meayen Bioto Havulad Ein Lecha Rasha Baolam Meotam Ha Rashaim Hayotim Leolam Shein Hakut Shabarich Umayayin Bovero Emoto Aguf Yaniach Ben Tzadik Vakasher Osheyatil La'adam May Israel Mimita Meshuna Osheyase Tovahat Uvishvil Kach Akadosh Baruchu Motzi Ola Olam. Before I read the English translation, I want to add something from the previous pasuk, which is 4:18. In that verse, it talks about the prostitution of the generation before the flood, where the Nephilim, the fallen angels, had relations with females of human species. And they use the word prostitution. If you look in the Aramaic, it's the word zona, which is the word for prostitute, but it's also a word for priestess. But the idea that the women did not go willingly to be intimate with these very fallen angels, or someone who was not oriented to meeting spiritual entities, they would have been extremely frightened. And we don't consider prostitution in that same way. That someone is being forced, we call it rape. But we also don't consider that it's the idea of it being frightening to the woman to be intimate with something that they don't really understand or know. So I found that word very interesting. And if nobody wants to comment on what I just said, or if you do, that's fine.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
I know that I heard probably sometimes this month, I don't know exactly when, but they're trying to, a lot of these personnel in the government is trying to legalize prostitution. They want to legalize it. So what is that? I mean, to me, that is not headed in the wrong direction for this whole universe.
Okay.
I mean, there is a lot of prostitution going on, and some of it is absolutely forceful with these young girls that they're sex trading going on, you know. So.
I don't know that anybody is trying to legalize prostitution. What some of the district attorneys in certain larger cities, I believe in New Jersey, they started it, and maybe in elsewhere. But what they were saying is we will no longer prosecute victimless crimes is the word that is used. Because when you think about it, the women may be forced into prostitution, and yet they're the ones going to jail and not the higher-ups, not the ones who are truly profiting from the illegal trade. And it is very much part of the conflict between good and evil. And prostitution has always been in this world, and that's why the word zona, the Hebrew word for prostitute, also means a priestess. Well, we don't have priestesses in Judaism. We only have priests. So what was a priestess? A priestess is a prostitute who makes herself available to any man who comes worship her God that she is connected to. That's why the same word is being used in both cases. And yet you have Tamar, who presented herself as a Zona. Was she being a priestess, or was she a prostitute? It's a different culture, biblical times to today. Doesn't make what we're doing correct, and doesn't make what they did incorrect. It's all part of understanding the culture that you're in. Shall I go and read the English translation of 4:19, or do we still want to stay with this subject?
I think you can go ahead, unless Malcolm wants to stay.
Okay, the English translation for 4:19. They were the men of renown who were of old, because there is no greater tyrant, robber, or mighty man than a bastard. They were recognized as men of renown. Literally, the phrase is the men of the name by all, and called by that known brand, bastard, because they all see by his actions that he is a tyrant, a robber, and a mighty man. They call him by that name. And Rabbi Shimon said that the Holy One, blessed be he, examines the newborn. There is no wicked person in the world who is not examined by the Holy One, blessed be he. And he checks whether that person will ever beget a righteous son, or save somebody from Israel from a cruel death, or even do even one good deed. And if the answer is yes, the Holy One, blessed be he, allows him to come into the world. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I have a comment. You know, it's just really sad of all the abortions going on, because with learning this pasuk, which is very intriguing and eye-opening when it comes to birth, that all babies that are born have some greatness in them. They have a purpose, like we all know. We've been taught we all have a purpose. It may be just a fleeting moment of why we're here. It only takes that moment of righteousness to fulfill our destiny, basically. And what makes me so sad and have a heavy heart is that all of these abortions that are going on, these babies had a purpose to fulfill in this lifetime, in its lifetime. And they are basically giving up those babies to a god of some sort, you know, an evil energy, if you want to call it that. And how beautiful it is as well. It has beauty that our Hashem births these babies, knowing that in a generation or several generations down the line, that their ancestors will do greatness from that one birth.
That is truly beautiful. But since you brought up the subject, and I don't have an opinion about legalized abortion. But if you stop abortions and you bring many of these babies that are now being aborted, you bring them to term and they're born. The question is, do we have a structure in our society to handle the orphans or the abandoned children? Will society change to develop a method of raising these children who are not wanted in that sense. And why are they not wanted is because go back 200, 300, 400 years, what was an unwanted baby? The woman was scorned. She and her child were scorned. They were, you know, and the concept of bastard, which is in the previous verse. What is the definition of a bastard today is someone who acts in badly, but in, acts in wrongly. But the definition of a bastard in the previous times, a mamzer is the Hebrew word. This is a child born to a mother who was married to another man other than the father of this child. And the halakha of that mamzer is that they can only marry another mamzer for 10 generations. So what is that bastard doing to his future children? Each of them have to remain bastards, have to remain mamzers for 10 generations. And that's an overall, all part of this discussion about legal and illegal abortions.
Well, that goes back to the 10 generations. That goes back to Noah, you know, the 10 generations from Noah. So,
yes.
It's repeated itself, basically.
Correct.
But even with the bastards, that title bastard. Look how many great, righteous, Zadokine people that came out of that situation as well. You know, and are considered righteousness.
So each one of these bastards were evaluated by Hashem to see if what would come out of them in the future.
Right.
Will they have righteous children? That it's a beautiful concept.
Right.
So we are out of time. So everyone have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
And we will have a discussion or a teaching by the Ari for our later class tonight. I hope you'll join us.
Thank you.
Shalom gadol.
Shalom gadol. Shalom. Shalom.
Has joined.